are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we have a lot to talk about. The Giants took care of business against the Rockies. Drew Smyly on the mound was dominant once again, and the Giants' offense was good and resilient. Gabe Kapler made some excellent managerial decisions dealing with an injury to Luis Basabe. So the Giants are even thinner now at outfield with Basabe going down. Chadwick Tromp had to go on the injured list. Tyler Heineman was brought back. Big night for Joey Bart at the plate. Huge night for Austin Slater. Alex Dickerson with another huge night for himself. So the Giants pulled back to 500, and then it was an extremely interesting day for their opponents in the wildcard race. So we'll break it all down coming up next. But first, a little bit about me. I've been an off and on contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network in 2019. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan, and so these wins are exciting. And the Giants are tied for the final playoff spots in the National League, although they still do not win the tiebreaker, so technically they are behind even though they're tied. But the Brewers and the Reds are the teams that the Giants are tied with, and currently they hold those two spots, the seventh and eighth seeds in the National League. But the Brewers and Reds play each other today, and so one of them is going to lose. Therefore, if the Giants win their game tonight, they will move back into a playoff spot. And even if they lose, they'll still be tied with the loser of that game. The Phillies also, with a win, would have a chance to be tied in a three-way tie for that last spot. The Phillies are hurting in a big way after yesterday. I told you they had a doubleheader, and they lost both games, and the second game was in rather dramatic fashion. So just a huge shift for the Phillies, and they fell to behind the Giants now. They're two games under 500, and the Giants, of course, are at 500, 27-27. So we'll look more at the standings, but I do want to focus a little bit on this game itself. Although, one more thing, Fangraphs now has the Giants' playoff odds at 51.2%. So it is a coin flip at this point in time, with maybe a little bit more likely than not that they will make the postseason. So this was a great game, just a great team win. So many different people contributed. It started with Drew Smyly. He got into a little trouble in the first inning, but pitched out of it. So when all was said and done, he went 5 1/3, allowed just one run, struck out 5, walked just 2, allowed just 4 hits. His season numbers now are phenomenal. As we mentioned last time, he had this like elevated ERA, but the peripherals suggested that ERA was going to get pulled down dramatically, and that's what happened last night. The ERA got sucked down to where those peripherals were, or at least there was like a magnetic pull bringing it down towards them. So now he has a 3.38 ERA and a fielding independent pitching of 1.91 and expected fielding independent pitching of 2.74. So suffice it to say, those are excellent numbers, and it means even the 3.38 ERA might be artificially high and we should expect it to come down even. So how is he doing it? He's doing it with great strikeout stuff. He's got a 35% strikeout rate. League average is around like 20, 22%, maybe 24. So he's significantly better than that, striking out 13.5 batters per 9 innings. So Smiley and Gausman have been excellent. And it's just worth reiterating that because these were like the two major league signings on the pitching side by Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris this winter. And those guys have been excellent. And on cheap bargain type deals too. Smiley signed a 1 year, $4 million deal, and Gausman was 1 year, $9 million. So the production they've gotten out of those guys compared to, for example, Madison Bumgarner in his 5 year, $85 million contract that has been a disaster. It's just worth reiterating that this front office was correct to make the decisions that they made, despite the fact that there was a lot of criticism in the winter about those decisions. People were not happy they didn't bring back Bumgarner. People were not generally thrilled with Kevin Gausman and Drew Smiley being the major league signings on the pitching side. But those guys have been great, and every time they pitch, the Giants have a really good chance to win right now. So Smiley did that last night in the biggest game of the year, gave them a great chance to win, and win they did. So for the Giants, it started out extremely well on offense with Austin Slater against a lefty leading off, as he has done all season, hitting a home run to open the game for the Giants. It was just a rocket, hit 109 miles an hour. So Austin Slater's development, along with the development of so many of these Giants hitters, has just been a huge story this year, and it really can't be overstated how significant it is. Slater is just a totally different guy. If you watch Slater in 2017, I think, is when he debuted, and in 2018 and 2019, really, he was mostly like a slap singles hitter. He got a lot of his hits as like low line drives or ground balls to the opposite field. And this year, he's just become an enormous power threat. He's just consistently driving the ball in the air, and his swings are aggressive and vicious. He's just looking to do damage. And he's also become more patient, and he credits A, the hitting coaches with his new swing, and B, the coaching staff and the new philosophy of the front office and coaching staff, just a team-wide new philosophy of hitting with two strikes. And basically, the philosophy is that you're looking to do damage with every swing. You're not like in a two-strike count, shortening up your swing and trying to hit the ball on the ground up the middle or the other way, which is traditionally what has been taught in baseball. Instead, they're getting rid of that bogus theory, which does not work in an era of shifting, and they're just looking to do damage with every swing, and it's led to just dramatically improved results with two strikes. And so up and down the lineup, we're seeing the same type of approach, and it's just been working well pretty darn consistently all year long. So there's so much more to get to, but I do want to talk about what I thought was a really intriguing decision by Gabe Kapler when, unfortunately, Luis Basabe injured his hamstring trying to beat out a ground ball in his first at bat. So Basabe had to come out of the game, and it was a question who was going to replace him in the lineup. And it would have made a lot of sense just to put in Alex Dickerson. Basabe started in right. Darren Ruff was in left. So you could just, you know, put Dickerson in right, straight up switch with Basabe, and that would have made some sense. But instead, what they did is they put Crawford in for Basabe and then moved Crawford, obviously, to shortstop. And then Daniel Robertson, who started at shortstop, moved to left field. And then Ruff, who was in left, moved to right field. And so it was definitely an unorthodox way to go about it. But what it allowed them to do was to hold on to Alex Dickerson instead of just inserting him into the lineup, where he would just bat whenever Basabe's spot came up. They still had Alex Dickerson as someone they could use exactly when they wanted to use him as a pinch hitter. And so the move paid off beautifully in a couple of different ways. Number one, Daniel Robertson in left field made the play of the game. Leading off the seventh inning, Garrett Hampson hit a ball down the left field line to Robertson. And Hampson is really fast. Robertson is an infielder naturally, but he does play some outfield. And this is another, you know, huge credit to the Giants and the way they go about things now. They get versatile players who are athletic and capable of playing multiple positions. So Robertson is in there in left field, even though he started the game at shortstop. So he's in left field, and he just takes a perfect route to this ball. He circles around it, fields it with momentum coming forward, and fires a strike to second base where Solano catches it and just applies the tag on Hampson just before he's able to touch the base. It was a bang-bang play, but they got him. And this is leading off an inning in a game where the Giants had a one-run lead. So then this decision to not just straight switch Dickerson also paid off when the Rockies had tied the game in the seventh, and then leading off the seventh, Daniel Robertson's spot came up, but finally there was a righty on the mound with Freeland, the lefty pitcher for the Rockies, being taken out. And that's when Gabe Kapler decided to use Dickerson as a pinch hitter instead of Robertson in a right-on-right matchup. He gets the lefty-righty matchup for Dickerson, and Dickerson hits a pinch-hit home run to give the Giants the lead again. And it started a three-run inning. They also pinch-hit with Brandon Belt for Wilmer Flores in a big spot, and Belt hit a big two-run double that gave the Giants a 5-2 lead. So everything Kapler is doing is turning to gold right now. And for everyone who wanted to be super critical early on, if you were going to be critical of those moves not working, you have to praise him just as much for all these moves that are working. And it's just very exciting because this is winning baseball and winning managing and winning decision making and winning roster construction. And they're just getting started. So I think the future is very bright, and we're starting to really see the fruits of this new regime. And so Giants won 5-2. We'll talk more about it in the second half of the show. I want to talk about Joey Bart. He had a big night, and there's just a lot more to get into. So that's all coming up next. But first, I want to talk about Indeed. Can the Guinness Book of World Records give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk more about this big Giants win. It's just got me a little bit hyped up because, I mean, they could easily fall apart here in the last 6 games, but time and time again, they have shown us that they're a team that's able to be resilient and able to swing the bats well, win at home, score at home. I want to talk about Joey Bart's big night. Just quickly want to mention, in The Athletic, the last few days, we've been reading some stuff by Andrew Baggerly saying that the Giants would not be competitive in a normal year. And the fact that they're competitive now is only because of the weird schedule and the shortened season. And he cites their record against teams over 500 as his evidence. He says the Giants are 7-18 against teams over 500, which means they are just lucky to be where they are and they would fall apart in a normal year. The issue with just looking at record against teams over 500 and saying, well, that means they're bad, is that, I mean, yeah, that's a bad record against teams over 500, and we'll address that in a second. But if you're 7-18 against teams over 500, that means they're 20-9 against teams that are under 500. Okay, 20-9. And so a bad team is not just going to dominate teams that are under 500. And so to me, that's more indicative of a 500 team than a bad team. If you're dominating teams under 500 and losing to teams over 500, that makes you like an average team or a 500 team. And that's exactly what the Giants are. And 500 is competitive in Major League Baseball. Okay, another factor is that of those 25 games against teams over 500, 16 have been on the road. They had an unbalanced schedule. They played 7 road games in LA and only 3 home games. They played 3 road games in Houston and 0 at home. And in their games against the A's, where they've played 3 at home and 3 on the road, they really, really should have won 2 additional games. So that would make their record against teams over 500 9-16 with an unbalanced schedule that was mostly road games, including 7 against the best team in baseball on the road. So it's also a small sample. You can't just look into 25 games and make these big conclusions that way. And lastly, you can't say that playing the National League West and American League West is somehow like an easier road than if you had to play all of the teams in the National League. The National League West has the Dodgers and the Padres. The American League West, you have to play the A's and the Astros. Those are some really good teams. Last thing I'll say about this is the Giants are actually 83-79 now in their last 162 games. So that is a huge sample, obviously, a full season's worth of games, and they're above 500. So I think it's time for people to stop underrating this team. They have come a long way. If you look at the last 162 around the league, most of the teams that you would expect to be bad are bad. You know, the Royals, the Orioles, the Marlins, the Rockies, the Pirates, like bad records in their last 162. The Giants, quietly here, have been a winning team for the last 162. And this year, it's not like they're fluking their way to their 500 record. They have a +3 run differential. They're outscoring their opponents. So I just think you cannot say with any kind of confidence that this is a team that would not be competitive over 162. So anyway, getting back to the game itself, I want to talk about Joey Bart, because we were really critical of Bart on yesterday's show, and for good reason. I mean, he has really struggled. I'm not trying to be hard on the guy, but he's definitely really struggled. But in this game yesterday, he just looked better. His first at bat resulted in a flyout, but it was a much better at bat. He was just a little more selective, taking some pitches that he's been swinging at normally, taking strikes that weren't hittable strikes, resulted in a flyout. But then in his next at bat, it was another good at bat up to the point where he ended up hitting a double. Like, he was again taking pitches that weren't hittable and swinging at pitches that were, and it resulted in a really hard hit double that scored a run. Later in the game, he ended up having another double. So much better at bats for Joey Bart. Really good to see, because Chadwick Tromp had to go on the injured list prior to the game, which ends his season. So Tyler Heineman was called up. We're going to see Bart the rest of the way. There's just no question about it. Let's hope we can continue to see those high quality at bats. Also want to mention, I'm not sure I got to say this, but Austin Slater was on base 5 times yesterday. He had the homer, he had a single, and he had 3 walks. So just doing a great job in that leadoff spot against left-handed pitching. This lineup against lefties, you do not want to be a left-handed pitcher facing the Giants, because they have just done this all year long to left-handed pitchers. And let me just say this, if the Giants end up making the postseason, they'll probably be the number 8 seed, and then that would mean they would be playing the Dodgers, who have secured the number 1 seed. And who do the Dodgers have who's a lefty who would definitely play in one of those 3 games? Clayton Kershaw. And so, yes, Clayton Kershaw is tough, but yes, the Giants lineup is tough on lefties. So Giants would have a chance in that type of game. And we couldn't have said that for a long time about the Giants versus Kershaw. But this team that Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris have built is really good against left-handed pitching. period. And so let's not lose sight of that. Let's not lose sight that this offense, I mean, I didn't even mention this in my little soapbox about Baggerly saying this is not a competitive team in a full season. It's like we're ignoring the fact that this has been a great offensive team this year. They've been a top offensive team in baseball this season. And it doesn't really look like a mirage. I mean, some of the performance is bound to get a little bit worse, but we're not just talking about like small sample luck here. We're looking at a dramatically improved offensive team and one of the better offensive teams in baseball so far this season. So it's got me excited about the future. Like, even if the Giants don't make the postseason, to me, this has been a very successful year, proving to a lot of people they don't need to like start some long, painful rebuild. That was seriously like an MLB.com article in the offseason saying what was the Giants' like goal this season. And they said the goal was for the Giants to start the rebuild finally. Well, you know, while people are sleeping on them, they're building a competitive team from the ground up on the fly. Like, they're remodeling this franchise. They're not tearing down the whole structure and starting over. They're remodeling, and the remodel has been really solid. And we're starting to really see it come together. And it's just very exciting for the future. And they've clearly demonstrated an ability to find talent and to get the most out of the players that they have, thanks to the development-oriented coaching staff. So I'm excited. Giants have 50% playoff odds. Huge game between the Brewers and the Reds. I mean, somebody's going to lose. It doesn't really matter for the Giants. One of them's going to lose, and then therefore, if the Giants win, they are in playoff position. Phillies have another game against the Nationals. If they lose, they might be done. So we'll be watching that game. The Mets are kind of technically still alive. Got to watch them. They play the Rays. The Rockies are kind of technically still alive. If the Giants can win, that would probably finish off the Rockies. So we'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. We still don't know who's starting for the Giants. It'll be a righty on the mound for the Rockies. You know, he's been touched up a little bit this year. So the Giants should have the advantage against Ryan Castellani in this game. Doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, has some command issues, and has a little bit of a home run issue. So the Giants really should get to Castellani. Expect to see Dickerson in there. He's probably going to do more damage. Belt. Yastrzemski might be able to pinch hit, they said. So that would be a big deal if they can get him back and hopefully get him starting in the final weekend. Anyway, once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's Kaspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving it a review. Whatever you can do is very, very much appreciated. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.